But Isaiah chapter number 32, if you're there, let's look at verse number 9. Verse number 9. The Bible says, "Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins." Let's go to Luke chapter number 6. And it may not make a whole lot of sense until we... I'm going to try to tie all this here together for you. Luke chapter number 6. While you're going to Luke, I'm going to read you a verse out of Amos. Amos chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to whom the house of Israel came." And then Luke chapter 6, we're going to start down at verse number 20. This is the Beatitudes in Luke chapter 6. Verse number 20, the Bible says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Verse 21, Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." And we could keep reading, but I'm going to talk this morning, we're going to talk about this topic, this thought, embracing the hard, embracing the hard. And let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and we'll dive into this. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to your house once again. Thank you for giving everyone safety as they traveled here this morning. I pray that you would just bless us here today. God, I pray that souls would be saved. And Father, I pray that you would just be honored. You'd be glorified. Help pastors. He's going to be preaching in victory. Lord, I do want to lift Brother Clanny up in a special way. Just touch him and give him strength, Lord. Help Brother Nichols. He preaches here this morning. Help all the junior churches that will be going on. And Lord, I pray that you'd just be honored and glorified in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a saying, and I'm going to refer that a guy came in the store this week, and we were talking about some stuff, and he made this statement, and I had heard it before, but it kind of just went along with what I was thinking. But this is the statement, and you can argue with it one way or the other, and you say, well, that's not always true. But I think as a general rule, this statement holds true, and this is what it is. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. Think about it. And it's pretty true. It's fairly true. Now, I mean, Brother Chad, oh, there's this exception. Okay, whatever. But as a general rule, hard times create strong men. Okay? Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. It's a cycle. It's very much a cycle. Look at the history of the United States of America, and you will see this cycle repeated over and over and over. I'm glad that we live in the good times. I think all of us would be glad that we live in the good times. The problem with living in good times, though, it has created a generation of weak men. Okay? I went to a funeral. The guy's name, he lived right here in town on Main Street. His name was Chick. And I don't know if that's actually his name, but everyone has nicknames around here. So anyway, his name was Chick. I grew up working with his brother. His brother's name was Jerry. Now, I brought two things. I like illustrations, all right? Red illustrations especially, all right? Chick and Jerry grew up in a generation where this was their tool, okay? This was their tool. Many of your fathers, the older men in here, my generation, maybe not so much, but I remember going when we moved into my grandpa and grandma's house when we first got married, everything was put in with wood screws that were flathead, like slotted wood screws, okay? And they were put in with a screwdriver or a brace and a bit, okay? But that generation, the reason I was talking about Chick, if you shook these guys' hands, these guys' hands were huge, absolutely massive. And it was just like you grabbed a package of hot dogs that was solid, okay? They couldn't even curl their hands, okay? They were just like, it was just like big old meat clods. And that's what it was when you shook their hand. But you know why it was that way? Because, okay, you drive a 3-inch screw with a screwdriver, that takes some pretty impressive hand strength, okay? My hands don't look like that. Now, some of it's I'm just not a very big guy. But my hands, me and Luke were talking the other day, we was talking about hammers. You know, different things come up when you're working, and the topic of hammers come up. Now, I know you're not familiar with all of these things, and I'm going to tell you about, but I mean, I like good tools, and we were talking about these hammers, and there's a brand called Stiletto hammers. They're titanium hammers, top of the line, but for a claw hammer, you're paying $200 for a claw hammer. Like, brother Chad, claw hammer. Then there's one called Martinez hammers. You're going to be paying closer to $300 for a hammer. And so me and Luke were talking about this, and it's, you know, it's kind of, some of you, you're like, Brother Chad, why in the world would you pay $200, $300 for a hammer? If you swing it all day, it's well worth the money. So I was talking to Luke about it, and I said, you know, that's true, and they're great hammers. The last building I just built, I went through about 6,000 nails. The last building I just built. Two boxes of 3,000 apiece. Okay, do the math. Even if you're good at swinging and you can put a 16 in at, you know, in 3 hits, okay? And an 8-penny in with 2. Multiply that. You're swinging a hammer a lot of times, okay? But I told Luke, I said, you know, all I did was pull a trigger. Somebody asked me the other day, do you got any hand drives? And I laughed at him. I was like, no. The nail gun's over there. Go get the nail gun. Just use the nail gun. Why in the world would you swing a hammer when you can just shoot it? Right? And they just laughed. But go look in my truck. I don't have hand drive nails in my truck. But I've got 4 nail guns. I shoot them. He said, Brother Chad, that's great. That's a great thing. Yeah, it is. I'm not complaining. And some of this whole thought here is going to come back on my generation and me as being, this is something you should probably think about. Now, when all this is said and done and I get done with this lesson this morning, Lucas, I'm not going to go back and just drive nails just for the principle of driving nails. Bless God, I'm going to do the hard thing. But I want to maybe give you some thoughts here, because we are very much raising a generation of weakness. Of weakness. I've told a lot of people this. I don't know if God's coming back. Brother Townsley said at the funeral for his mother on Friday, the stage is being set. Amen. The stage is being set. If you came in here and you saw everybody starting moving around and changing things, and you would think, man, something's getting ready to happen, okay? But You don't know if it's happening in the next 5 minutes or if it's going to take 2 hours. That's kind of where we're at as Christians. Is the stage being set for Christ's return? Absolutely. But is it happening in the next 5 minutes or 50 days or 5 years? I don't know. But the direction that our country is going, either God's going to come back or we are going to have a major reset in our country. And you know what? That would be excellent for our country. I'm not an evolutionist, okay, obviously. But the whole thing about survival of the fittest and it weeds out the weak. Brother Chad, that's not kind. Well, it may be the truth. Now, nobody likes that, okay? But it may be the truth. And I just want to give you this thought because we are weak, not just as physically, as humans, okay? But we are weak as Christians. Why? Because we've never had to fight for anything. Think about it. When was the last time we were actually persecuted as Christians here in the United States of America? We haven't been. Somebody says something rude to us at work and we just kind of curl up and we don't respond to that. We don't have the right attitude towards that. What is it doing? It's making us weak. The good times is making us weak as Christians. You know, I'd use this all day long. Okay? And I'll drive hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of screws with that. But you know what? I don't have the strength in my hands that Jerry and Chick did. Mrs. Townsley just passed away. We just had her funeral on Friday. Let me read this. October 24th, 1929 was called Black Tuesday. It was the day that the stock market crashed and thrust America, and there was a lot of things leading up to it. But that was the one thing that kind of people go back to, October 24th, 1929, as Black Tuesday, the day the stock market crashed, and it thrust America into the Great Depression. Into the Great Depression. While this was not a singular event, but rather a conglomeration of events, it led to one of the worst downturns in the economy of America. This was a time of hardship for the American family. Men lost their jobs. They lost their homes. And listen, folks, there was no government to bail them out. They didn't get subsidy checks in the mail. That was probably one of the worst things that could have happened to America's during COVID was the fact that everybody started getting checks in the mail. Everybody started relying on the government. Oh, well, okay, this is easy. That was terrible for America. Terrible. Oh, yeah, everyone liked to spend it when you had it, but that was terrible for America. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it now, and I'll say it numerous times. Convenience is the enemy of freedom. Convenience is the enemy of freedom. When you start living your life because it's convenient, convenience always gives up freedom in order to have convenience. All right? And we live as Christians and as American Christians, we live a life of convenience. If it's not convenient, we don't do it.
Right. Come on.
Okay? But embracing the hard, there was no government to bail them out. They had to figure out how to survive without a government subsidy check coming in the mail. Let's fast forward one decade. And by the way, that was in 1929. Mrs. Townsley was born, I think she was 90 years old, so it was what, 1933? 1933. Mrs. Townsley was born in February, I forget the exact date, of 1933. So amidst one of the worst times of the economy of American history, it bred a generation of people that had something instilled into them. So that hard times created strong people.
Right. Right.
Those strong people is what built Blessed Hope Baptist Church.
Right.
Okay? Because why were they able to build Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Because they had to endure some stuff that caused them to learn how to sacrifice, that caused them to learn how to give, that caused them to learn how to put forward things, not because they wanted it, but because it was needed for the next generation.
Amen.
And we're all but losing that generation.
That's right.
That Mrs. Townsley generation, you know, we've pretty much lost almost all of our World War II veterans.
Yep.
But even those young people that were born, okay, so 1929, right? The Great Depression hit. Let's fast, so a young man is 9 years old, 1929. Great Depression hit. What happens in 1939? World War II starts ramping up. You know why America came out of World War II as a superpower? We didn't go into World War II as a superpower. We came out of World War II as a superpower. Why? Because the hard times in 1929 forged a generation of men that a boy that was 9 years old. Okay, think of my son, he's eight. My son's generation, or my son's age, would have been going into war, to World War II. And listen, thousands and thousands of them died over there. That was another hardship. But what was the result of that? A superpower, the American, okay, yeah, America was building up, but America really wasn't what it is today until after it came out of, you know, the whole Industrial Revolution, that whole period of time. And America is where it is today. Why? Because there were some things instilled in a young man when he was 9, 10, 11 years old that carried him through World War II and produced a generation. And then we've got, there's men in this building right now. They went to Vietnam. They served their time. And they had to face, what's boot camp all about? Hard times. That's all boot camp is here. We're going to put you through the ringer so that, why? So you can be prepared when something bad happens. That's what it is. All right? What have we created? He was a mere 9 years old. Now he's 19. He's listening to the radio. All right? Waiting for his draft papers. Okay? What would happen to America today? What would happen to America today if they instituted the draft? Think about what we're sending into the military. Now, I'm talking, and I'm, you know, we're applying this in both arenas. But what are we sending? Okay, what are we sending to Bible colleges? These are the soldiers of the Lord. What are we sending to Bible colleges? All right? The U.S. emerged from World War II in 1945 as a superpower. We are now probably the wealthiest nation as a cross-section. We are the wealthiest nation in the world. We've got more people have more money in the United States of America than ever before. We live in one of the poorest counties in Indiana. Okay? We do. We live in one of the, I don't know, Brother Brian could tell you the statistics. I don't know that. We live in one of the poorest counties in Indiana. But listen, folks, we are all pretty wealthy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay? Amen. We're all pretty wealthy. Vietnam, Korea, and other wars continued to forge in America a type of man that this country needed. Men knew that what it was to face adversity in the face and triumph over it. Men who knew how to summon strength from the inside and also from God above when no strength seemed possible. That generation gave us the luxuries that we have today. They gave us the ability to live literally on easy street. The question I have for American Christians is, have the good times created weak Christians? When was the last time? Well, think about this. When was the last time you had to pray that God would provide your next meal? I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't remember the last time.
Right.
If there ever was a time, and maybe this is me, oh, me of little faith. I don't remember the last time. Yeah, I pray that God supplies our needs, all that stuff. I don't remember the last time my wife had to go to, I don't remember it ever happening, quite honestly. My wife going to the cabinet and opening it, and there is nothing in the cabinet. Now, some of you can say that, especially the older generation. You knew, you've gone to the kitchen cabinet, and there is nothing. I've never Yeah, have we gone and there's been little? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I've never gone and had to go to the kids and say, hey, we're just not going to, and you know, try to explain why we're not going to eat tonight.
Right, babe. Amen.
I've never had to do that. So I've never really had to go to God and say, God, I don't know where I'm going to feed my family tonight.
Yeah.
I've never had to do that. Okay? Has there been times I didn't have enough money to pay the mortgage or something big thing like that? Yeah, and sometimes it's kind of worrisome, but there's always something that you know is coming. That Great Depression era, they didn't know. They didn't know what was coming or if they had anything coming. The best that they could do is if they were somewhat self-sufficient, you know, okay, I can go kill some stuff out in the woods and we can eat. Okay? I mean, if push come to shove, all right, I know enough of the whole, you know, vegetation thing. I know what you can eat and you can't eat. We could have had squirrel and salad, okay? We would have been fine. And we, you know, we do that sometimes, but we do it by choice. So have we become soft as Christians? Have we become soft because we didn't, there, you know, what is God, you know, what are we expecting from God? Okay? When we face something so big, the only place we could look to was God. You know, we have got our speed dial on our phone. You know, if we need something, I think as American Christians, we've kind of lost the whole concept of, Maybe I'm showing my frailty here, but I've kind of lost the whole concept of praying and asking God to provide for something. And I want you to hang on with me here. Because if I want something, everyone offers financing. Great financing. I don't have to go to God. I can go to the bank. Well, I got a home equity line of credit. That's a pretty good home equity line of credit. And when I run short on money, if I run short on money, it's always there. I can pull $10,000-$12,000 out, float you for a little while, and then, you know, pay it back when I get it. This is the way American Christians live. But let me ask you, what if that wasn't available? What if, the buddy on the phone wasn't available to, you know, speed dial, running short, you know, mom, dad, I'm running short on funds this week. Can I borrow $100? What if they didn't have it? Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times creates weak men. Weak men create hard times. The passages we read, there's some. To me, there was some things that, the Bible talks about woe to them that are at ease. Isaiah talked about it. Amos talked about it. Woe to them that are at ease. Look at Luke chapter number 6. Look at the blessings that are given versus the woes that are given. Blessed be ye poor. Well, listen, nobody in this room wants to be like, that's the American dream. I want to be poor. But the Bible says, blessed be the poor. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Nobody likes to be hungry. I did a whole thing about being hungry and your appetites. We won't go into that again because nobody likes that either. Especially me. Okay? And listen, this is me right here. I am the easy street guy. If it's easier, why not do it? But because we've done this, we've lost the ability to hardly even use this. What happens when this is all you have to use? We've lost the ability to pray. We have lost the ability to get a hold of God because we don't really need to get a hold of God. So what happens when God is the only thing that you have left to get a hold of? Do you even know how to talk to Him effectually? And just give me some food for thought here. Because, like I said, I think America, Either God's going to come back and take us all out of this, but I almost think it's kind of unfair to all those Christians that sacrificed for all those other generations if we just kind of get off on easy street and there isn't something bad that happens in the United States of America. And what's going to happen to American Christians? Have we created a generation of weak men? I contend that, yes, we have. We've got athletes every Sunday afternoon. Almost every other day of the week, you can watch strong athletes play games. But they're weak men. Look at their lives. They're weak men. Put them in a battle uniform. They'd curl up in fetal. Look at their lives. Look at what they post on. I don't look. Look what they post on whatever social media platform they're on. They're weak men. They have no self-control. They give in to whatever whims they want. They're weak men. Yeah, they're strong physically, but they're weak men. We've created a society that is weak. They buckle to every whim of the flesh. A society that lives for the flesh will sacrifice almost anything to appease the flesh. I'll say this again. Convenience has become the American's worst enemy. It is.
Yes, sir.
You don't even have to get up to go change the thermometer anymore. Alexa, I'd like it 73 degrees. And it does it for you. We've lost a generation. I literally had a guy the other day call. I had a guy call me the other day and ask me to come change the batteries in his thermostat. And that's no joke. I said, I can. It'll be a service call. That is the most expensive two AAA batteries I've ever seen in my life. $53. That was half a service call. You think I'm not joking? And he paid it. That's the crazy part. Is he paid it? I thought, you know, I could go. Listen, I could go. I could be nice. I could just. It's going to take me 3 minutes tops. They lived in Jacksonville, of all places. You know, the poorest, probably one of the poorest cities in, I don't know, wherever. Yep. $53 to change the batteries in his thermostat. But yet, I don't know if I could change the batteries in my thermostat. Learn how! For $53, you can learn something. The batteries, no joke, the batteries are like 50 cents a piece. So I upcharged the batteries, and I charged for service call, and, you know, I mean, took fuel to go half a mile over, and time. You say, Bro Chad, that's crazy. It happens all the time. The stuff that people will pay you to do is ridiculous. But if they're paying, I'll do it. Listen, folks, have we created this generation of if you can't talk to it, okay. When was the last time you walked into the gas station and saw, you know, the Rand McNally sitting there someplace? How many of you, if I said I need you to go, I'm just throwing some thoughts out here, okay? I'm just kind of throwing this out. I think it's food for thought. I think it's some stuff you ought to think about. I said, I need you to get from Jacksonville, and I said someplace in Alabama, and I gave you an address. And you didn't have your phone. You know, there is a reason. I mean, I have multiple reasons. I carry a flip phone. I don't have I can't use this for finding places, okay? You can, but it's nearly impossible. Okay, anyway, If you ever try it, I'll let you use my flip phone. Some of you don't know. BuzzKids, Brother Chad, what is that? I've handed it to teenagers from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I say, here, call your mom. How do I use this? No, and this isn't that old. I mean, like, this technology is not that old, folks, okay? Let alone the dial thing. Try giving them a dial phone. Okay? But seriously, if I gave you, said, I need you to get from here to someplace in Alabama, here's the address, here's a map. Most Americans anymore would be like, you got to be kidding me. If you can find a map. If you can even find a map, good luck using one. Okay? If your little voice that comes through your computer on your phone or whatever said drive off a cliff, you realize how many people would just drive off the cliff?
Yes, sir.
Because it didn't tell you to turn. And I'm really not joking. There's a lot of documented cases, not driving off the cliff, but driving through stuff because the GPS did not tell them to turn. So why should I turn? Because the computer didn't tell me to turn. Listen, our freedoms as Americans are being slowly taken away because of convenience. Our ability to serve Christ is slowly being taken away. Taken away isn't the right word. It's slowly being given away because all we want is convenience. Well, we got, you know, work day, or we got visitation, or we got this, or we got that. But I don't know where I'm going to find time to do that. Betty Townsley's generation, this church didn't get built by Betty Townsley's generation because it was convenient. It got built by that generation because they chose to do it. What's my generation doing? Not much time today. Listen, I don't know. I say this and it comes back and bites me all the time. So I'm going to say it again. And it's going to come back and bite me again. You have time to do what you want to do. And it's going to come back and bite me because there's always something that I should be doing that I'm not doing. And I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. Okay. And it's going to come back and bite me. So I'm just being... We live a life of convenience despite the invasion of your privacy. Do you realize that the government knows way more about you than what you think they know? Why? Because it's convenient. They know everywhere you've been. They know everywhere you've been this last week. They know what you look at on your phone. Despite all your blockers and everything else, they know what you look at on your phone. We don't live in the age of Daniel anymore, when men could come and say, we can't find anything about this guy. All they have to do is look at your internet record, and they could pretty much pull up something that wouldn't be good, that could be a defamation of Christ, of Christian character. Abraham was forged for battle as a nomad in the desert. Gideon was forged for battle, hiding his harvest from the Midianites. David was forged to face Goliath in the sheep fields of the highlands. However, Solomon was handed everything. Think about it. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. What happened? David was strong because of why? Some hard stuff. He wasn't even allowed to build the temple because he was a man of war. He had blood on his hands. But his son Solomon came in and had everything, literally anything he wanted. Good times created what? What happened to Rehoboam, his son? Good times created weak men. Weak men created hard times. Almost every person in the Bible that accomplished something great for God had to do something hard before they did the task that God asked them to do. I'm going to say this and take this for what it's worth, and maybe God will help you with some stuff as I'm praying that God helps me with. In 2024, I want to purposely choose to do some hard stuff. Not because I have to, because I am an American. I don't have to do much hard stuff. But I'm going to choose to do some hard stuff. Because by choosing to do hard stuff, you're preparing yourself for things that you can't choose to do. Okay? We must purposely choose to do the hard things. We must do hard things on purpose. We must put ourselves in situations that are outside of our comfort zone. Listen, we must put our children in situations that push them and challenge them. Right. Miss Lauren does an excellent job being a monitor for our young people out here. In fact, I think she's besides my wife's a monitor this year, so she is my favorite monitor, all right? Miss Lauren is my second favorite monitor. And you know why she's one of my favorite monitors? Because she gets the kids out there on break and makes them run and do stuff. You know, the kids always come home, guess what Miss Lauren made us do today? And my kids are like, wow, this was cool. Listen, hey, your kids ought to be out there running and doing stuff and getting hurt.
Yep. That's right.
Getting hurt is good for kids. It toughens them up a little bit. You want your kids to live in a bubble? You're creating weak people. Get them out there. Push them off something every once in a while. It's good for them.
Love.
I can't believe he's saying that. And you're creating a weak generation. It's okay for a kid to get off of training wheels. They might fall down. They need a helmet. They're on a bicycle going .00001 miles an hour. They're gonna get a busted head, okay? You know the coolest thing that most adults, I don't know what happens from adulthood to, you know, I mean, look what happened to me this week. You know, broke my arm. That's cool for a kid. Brett Chad, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit. Okay. But I pretty much guarantee if you look at Don Mowry's hands, there's lots of scars. Okay? I'm thankful for the men. I'm thankful for Tom Walton that when I was, and I'm just going to say this. He's not here this morning. So I think your dad has kind of mellowed over the years. I think so. You know, I'm watching him work with guys when I was last few years, and I'm like, there is no way I'd get by with that. Like, he would, like, kick us across the barn to go get turkeys or whatever. Run over there! You know, and I am thankful for men that pushed me to do stuff. I'm thankful for men that sometimes push me to tears. And then I'm thankful for a mama that when I went home and complained about it, said, well, you probably deserved it. And I'm thankful for a dad that would show me how to put up. I mean, dad could keep up with four teenage boys putting up hay. Okay? It was like a challenge. I can do this. I mean, he's 150 pounds. He's like 160 now, and he's like, 73 years old. He's gained 10 pounds in the last, however many years. All right? And he could throw bales of hay higher than 250-pound, the teenager that thought he was all that. I could ask teenagers that was in his youth group. You know, he would just do stuff. My dad was in the military, okay? All right, there were some things he knew that the common Joe doesn't know. Teenager, strutting his stuff, he'd go out there and my dad would just, like, flip him up on the ground and get back up. And my dad could climb a rope when he was older than I am faster than any teenage boy. You know what men in my life taught me? Hey, learn to do the hard stuff.
Come on.
Listen, I am the king of Easy Street. I got a grapple bucket on my tractor. I will spend, Brother Nathan, 5 minutes trying to pick up a little stick off the ground.
Yeah.
with my grapple bucket instead of just getting off the tractor and going and picking it up. I mean, that's me. Self-admitted easy street guy right here. Okay? But what has that led to? What has it led to? Now, am I going to, tomorrow when I go to work with Luke, am I going to get rid of this? No. It's going right here on my side. Okay? Am I selling all my equipment so I can, you know, go buy shovels and pickaxes? No. I am not. Right. Me and my wife, every once in a while, for a fun family night, I'll go over to the breaker box, and I go up all the way to the top breaker. Pop. And you know, the kids have a blast. We get the candles out and the lanterns and play a game, a board game. My wife's like, she don't play games. I do when the power's out. All right. They stay. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that road. Listen, it's okay to do some hard stuff. It's okay to get your kids out there and you know, dirt's not a bad thing. You're made of it. I just figure if your kids are eating dirt, they're just adding to their constitution. Prove me wrong. You're made of it, so why not eat it? My wife's got this stuff. She takes it every day. It's called diatomaceous earth. She eats dirt every day, and then she's like, don't eat that dirt. Oh, you got to wash your hands. Their hands are dirty. I'm butchering pigs the other day, and somebody brought out cookies. And you know what? Do you know that pigs have the closest, or their organs are closer to a human than anything else a pig is? So I'm butchering, I got blood everywhere, literally everywhere. But they're fresh peanut butter cookies. You know what? I ate like six, and they're like, did you wash your... Why? Their blood's closer to my DNA than anything else. Listen, don't have a heart attack about stuff. Let your kids grow up, but push them to do stuff. Make it hard for them in some ways. Okay? Teach them how to use a broom, not just a vacuum. Right. Teach them how to change a tire instead of calling, you know, AAA. I'm just giving, listen, we have become so enamored with the easy. But because of that, we've lost so much knowledge. We've lost a generation, and we've almost completely lost a generation of people that grew up knowing what it was to live on hard times. You know what would be great for America? And I'm just going to stand up here and say it. Brother Klein, it would be great for America for us to all lose power. And I'm not talking about a storm power outage. And I say that just because I got stuff that you don't. Brother Klein's like, I don't care if we lose power or not. No. We just keep on trucking. No, listen, you know, I'm serious. Our most fragile thing in the United States of America is our grid system. Fragile, like I'm talking fragile, fragile. Wipe that out for 3 weeks. Just 3 weeks. And see how it changes our country. Yep. See what your neighbors do. All right, we live on easy street. As Christians, as Americans, let's this year. You know why I don't do push-ups anymore? I would say it's because I'm tall, dark, and handsome, and humble, but none of that is true. All right, you know why I don't do push-ups and sit-ups and stuff anymore? Is it because I'm fit? No, I'm just skinny. Fit and skinny are not the same thing. You know why I don't do them anymore?
Because they're hard.
And I don't like hard. My flesh doesn't like hard. But as hard is good for us. This year, just some thoughts. Let's choose to do the hard thing. Maybe not convenient. Bible said, blessed are those that hunger. Go without some meals. It doesn't hurt you. It's good for you. It's called fasting. It's a Bible principle. Go without some meals. Learn to do without when you could have. Next time you're getting ready to call the banker, hey, can I? Maybe you should call God. Say, God, what would you have me to do? Food for thought. Food for thought. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. We went a little over. Lord, I pray that you bless the services today. God, help us to be yielded to you. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to choose the hard thing. Help us not to live on easy street as Christians. Help us not to just always be looking for the easiest way out. And Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the men and the ladies in my life that have been a good example to me. Lord, I pray that you bless us the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.